So you can hear me well? We're good?
Yep.
All right. We're in, we're on the Love Bus, and we always got, interesting internet connections. So what we're going to do is, are we going to record video?
We can record video.
Not stream, all right. We're not going to stream because we don't have enough bandwidth, but we'll go ahead and record the video. Put my camera on. Or give me the thing or something. Okay, let me see how the lighting is on me. Let's open this.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not gonna work. Yeah, we're the Love Bus Liberty Tour. We're going across the nation. We're in Arizona right now.
So you're actually... Oh, I see. Yeah, there's a steering wheel behind you. You're actually in a...
Yeah. No, we're in... there's a friend of mine, casting couch. We're in a... this is our, setup, the studio.
And, wow.
And all the crap, So, we're on the road, man.
Awesome.
Been traveling the country.
You feel like you're with the Rolling Stones or something, like on tour?
Kind of. We're doing a lot of activism. We're, the Love Bus is, an offshoot of, the Lovolution, where, the Ron Paul Revolution. I don't know if you remember that. I'm the one that created that logo. And we went around the country supporting that. And now we're we sold everything and went on the road for a year. Waiting for all this mess to, settle down. Maybe we'll get some land here in a year from now and, kind of settle down back here in Arizona. But it's mainly to in opposition to mandatory vaccinations. And do I own myself, And this body, notions and potions forced by the crown kind of thing, that's bad. And then we have... The other subtopic was if it pleases the crown, can I, occupy my own land? And the reason is because they have, you can set up a tent in front of City Hall and you're fine. But if you take that same tent and put it on your own land without a permission slip from the crown, you go to jail. And I go, when the hell did that happen? There's something. So we've been, our previous guest is, we cover a lot of stuff. I've been involved in a lot of things. But one of our listeners, supporter in Vermont, came across you somehow, and he thought you'd be a good interview on a lot of the things that we're talking about. And, what is it? We'll start here in about a minute and a half. What is it you want to make sure we get out? Because I need his webpage and something.
Yeah, the webpage would be good. That's about it. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, I want to know what you're going to be speaking on. See.
Okay. I teach people, and we're offering a notice of liability for all the things that you just mentioned. I feel that this is all contractual, because everything is a corporation, and so they've gotten you into some kind of agreement of one way or the other, tacit or...
Well, are you using process and paperwork? Is it kind of like UCC of rights reserved kind of thing, or is it administrative law?
Not UCC. It's using the ancient law merchant, which is the ancient Babylonian system.
Well, I mean, which, is recognized by what? I mean, we're up against, bad guys, and they're being bad, and they're going to be more bad. So I'm just, however we can... defeat them. All right, we're coming in 5 seconds. Hold on, here we go.
Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard, and a beard, and a beard, and a beard, and a beard. Yeah, declare your independence, a beard, and a stack cock, and in Punapa, Arizona, where we're having lots of fun with friends and family and so on. We're trying to get a house rented. We can have our annual Christmas party, because there's nobody else. They're going, no. We used to have a couple acres here, and they're like, you ain't using my house, man. It'll be, so we'll see what we can work out. We're going to find a place to have us a party. Because friends and family, and a lot of them are activists, and we're back here doing a lot of things, and we're up against they, them, those that won't leave us alone. There's a lot of things that it's good, it's evil, they just want more power and money, and there's a lot of mechanisms and methods, and I'm kind of done with process. Everybody's got to, if you filled out the right paperwork, if you did the right thing, if you said the right words, it would it'll fix it. And I'm like, we have a suggestion that we talk to Cal Washington. He's CEO and founder of In Power, an author of Notice of Liability. Now, what we're going to be talking about is there a way of thinking? Well, we're going to find out. Cal Washington is an empowerment advocate and contractor who has stumbled into knowledge leading to an extraordinary experience within the systems of commerce and justice. As co-founder of the Empower Movement, he is dedicated to sharing his knowledge to help people truly take back their power and hold accountable those involved in agendas causing harm. All right. Man, wow me, Cal. That sounds like you got a solution to something, man. Tell me what's up.
Well, as it said, I'm just an ordinary guy, contractor, musician, family man, got kids, ended up in a divorce and came face to face with the Just Us system. And it wasn't what I thought it was or what I thought it should be or along those lines. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And it took me a long time to figure it out. And I had to go through a lot of the arrests and the nights in jail and days in court and pepper spray and all of that stuff. Like a SWAT, what you would call a SWAT team at my house attending, and beat my brother almost to death by mistake. So I went through it. I went through the hard way, the hard, tearful, painful way.
But their justification for targeting you, and it was, law enforcement that, thought your brother was you, and they beat him up, that kind of thing? So what was their rationale for coming after you to begin with?
They came after me because I failed to appear in court.
Oh, you didn't comply. Okay. So, and the reason is, what are you discovering? What is it you want to share with people?
Well, I discovered that there's a hidden agenda going on in the court, and it has to do with commerce, has to do with money. That's the bottom line. And the movement of money, the creation of money, is all part of what I would deem the divorce industry. So what ends up happening is, I'll just sort of give you opened my eyes was when I got served divorce papers, I went on because it was a surprise to me. I went on a site and it said, if you're reading this, this is what just happened to you. And then it just read my story. Like it word for word was exactly what happened. The magazines, the TV shows that were being watched, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was my first sort of what's going on here. So that all said, there is an industry and it's a divorce industry and there's huge money in it. And once I discovered all this, I figured out how to deal with it, and it went away in my life.
Well, what went away? All of a sudden you stayed married, or you just ignored the court, what went away? What were you up against?
I was up against, like I said, at least once a month in court, and a lot of times twice in court, twice a month in court, and sometimes twice a week in court, because it ended up going into driving matters as I learned more. And so I was in an oppressed state for a lot of years, looking over my shoulder, constantly being pulled over, in and out of jail, arrests on the side of the road, sometimes let go, sometimes taken in, just this constant court justice, letters in the mail, this bombardment of oppression. And it went away completely, where they leave me alone.
And what was your secret weapon?
The secret weapon was when I discovered commerce, because I went in and I read the statutes, and you know, I'm a smart enough guy, I can start to read and figure out things, and I came up with actual arguments in court. And they were, you know, you could see on the look on the judge's face, whoa, you know, he's got it. But they would never rule for me. They would always rule against me, and I couldn't figure out what's going on here. Like, why is this so corrupt? And then I learned commerce, and then I saw the mistake I was making, because they were operating in a different jurisdiction than what I thought they were. And then it all made sense, because I was arguing, and I shouldn't have been arguing. I should have been trying to settle, which is a biblical principle. Settle with your brother on the way to the magistrate. And so once I learned, saw these principles, and I knew the principles in my heart, but I didn't know that there was a correlation that was going on. So I started operating under commercial principles, and then I realized they were the same as biblical principles. There was one of them was copying each other. I don't know which, because it's all old stuff, right? Before I was born. So I started operating in that arena, and then the judge's first commercial move I made, the judge ran out of the room. And that was like shocking. We didn't know why he ran out of the room. We had to figure out afterwards that it had something to do with me, because they called my case and he ran. So I went, what's going on? And everybody in the room went, what just happened? Because I didn't know that I wasn't expecting that. So I didn't know that that was the reason. Afterwards, when I saw more of this type of behavior amongst judges, I went, okay, I'm on to something here. These people are running from this, and they are scared, like deathly scared. I don't know what it is, but I just kept going. So through a lot more trial and error, it dawned on me that this is real, and these people understand it more than I do, maybe not, but I kept going. And then the picture became very clear to me that they are operating in what I call law merchant, or what is called law merchant.
All right. We're going to be hitting the break here in about a minute, a 4-minute break, and we'll come back and get more details on this. But in the minute you got here, I need the audience to understand what we're going to be talking about. When you're going to court, and it's the lawyers, they file paper, and then they file paper against their paper, and all the lawyers make money, and the court gets whatever, and it's a, you know, an industry, and they're making money. And you're going, why are we doing argue? Well, there's and it was a contention on what? You know, a visitation, custody, alimony, money, whatever, every little, and they're probably trying to amp it up and amp, and all your money becomes their money. But you were trying to extract yourself from that system, and you found a way to do it with what? You settled with your ex-wife, or it was something to go with the court, or you had a secret, you know, piece of paper? What?
Well, it's not a secret piece of paper, but it's moving into a commercial process where if they cannot prove their claim, because everything they have is a claim, if you understand that, then and they continue to enforce something on me when they can't prove their claim, then I'm going to start charging them money.
Okay, so you did it. All right. You're getting to where. Here's Jay Noon. I charge $50,000 an hour to do what you tell me is my claim. Now what? You know, I said, okay. So we're getting, you know, I guess guys that look in the right place, they discover the same things. We're going to find out. We come back just a little bit. Cal Washington.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Yeah, that might be something you're interested in. Piratewithoutborders.com, the letters of Captain Mark and reprisal. You know, we put in, you know, just a bunch of letters of philosophy like that of we're decentralized down to the individual thing. But it is not a pirate's life for me. I'm done with process. I don't want to fill out paperwork. It'd be nice, you know, to have, you know, the secret of, you know, to bypass it. Or when they're coming after you, go, okay, you want to play, we're going to play this way. And they go, we don't want to do that. And I go, okay, that's what I thought. So hopefully we have a friend that back in New Hampshire, and especially when he lived in Massachusetts, he kind of came to the similar conclusions that you have. So whenever the government, you know, or zoning enforcement or something, they come to him, they go, well, first thing, I got a fee schedule. And my claim is $50,000 for every hour that you're bugging me. I got to do something you want to do. And here's my schedule. That's my claim. Now let's start from there. And they're like, we don't want to play, you know. So it's interesting that we should have him come on talk about this here directly. But it seems like you've come across what we know in the court system. You're saying it's all about money, but even when, especially when they have a criminal complaint or something, it's they bond it. They attach a value to it, and they trade it, and they, you know, it's like you know, a mortgage or something. I mean, all this weird stuff, and it sounds like you're kind of in that realm a little bit, and you have an understanding of how the system really works. So what I'm going to do when we come back, I'm going to finish the other two paragraphs of your bio, I think, are informative, and then we'll talk about Empower as the movement and the web page, and then I'll let you, your divorce is what kind of gave you knowledge of this process, but it goes much further than that, and it's used in other things. So we'll get to that. All right, here we go.
LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Cal Washington. Now, what is his revelations, his understanding, his education, his experience has led to InPowerMovement.com. InPowerMovement.com. Now, Cal explains how men and women worldwide can hold public officials and CEOs accountable for causing widespread harm with trespassing technology. He has co-authored a new commercial liability action to solve the smart meter problem, as well as looming 5G rollout, mandatory vaccination, and geoengineering. Learn how it works, why it works, how each of us can participate. A construction contractor, musician, and family man turned law merchant scholar, Cal Washington is the co-founder of InPower. He found himself tangled in the legal system and was forced to learn the truth about how things are rather than how things appeared or how things should be. Through his difficult journey, a path emerged. At the end of this path, he found himself on the other side, free of tyranny. This knowledge and experience came at great cost, but also with a great blessing. Today, Cal is inspired to share that knowledge and experience with others. Now, our causes. Our community members have expressed concerns about super technology and other inventions that claim to progress society forward as a whole, but that also carry tangible risks that affect the health and safety of our homes and often for the sake of profit. Please learn more about our causes below and subscribe for updates. So empowermanagement.com is movement. Empowermovement.com is where you're trying to share this power that you believe that you've attained from the knowledge of doing something. And it's a change of attitude and question and claim and all that gobbledygook. I don't freaking care. Skip to the end and tell me what you're doing. Go.
Yeah. So you pretty much summed it up. There is a process, there is paperwork, but I also say that there is no magic pieces of paper. Like that, get that out of your head. This, you don't automatically put ink on a piece of paper and it's going to magically do something in the universe. It has to be a representation of your beliefs and your stand inside. And that's what we're more teaching with the paperwork is if you read the document a few times, even to debunk it, something will happen inside you and you'll start to realize who you are in this game. So they have basically turned us all into merchants, slaves, as is being said on this show, same thing. But they turned us into merchants in order to make us slaves. So with our birth certificate, the capitalized name, I'm sure you understand all that. So they're moving in four agendas that are military in scope, but they are doing it commercially in fact. So your vaccinations are not being done by a government, they're being done by the pharmaceutical industry. Your smart meters are being done by your utilities. 5G is being done by Verizon and other telecom type companies. They're all companies, they're all commercial. Therefore, you can use commercial process against them. This is their Achilles heel. They're not using standing armies to deploy these weapons. They're using commercial process and getting our agreement. We want this thing. We want the vaccinations. We want 5G. We want all this technology. We want it. But they've literally turned them into weapons so that they can have use them against us. So that said, what I went through, I can see all that because I've been through it. And I go, I can see what to do. And that is you treat them as a corporation. In other words, I can see that you're trying to get me in a contract. I just need to switch the terms. Counter. It's called the meeting of the minds in contractual law. So they have the offer. I'm accepting their offer with conditions. Just like when you buy a house, I will. You know, you put an offer in with conditions that I'm going to sell my house or I'm going to get the financing or whatever it is. And then once the conditions fall, then the deal goes through. Same principle. I see your vaccinations. I will accept them if you can prove to me that they are safe. And you have to do it in an affidavit form. If you can't do it, then I will deem them to be unsafe. And if you force them on me, then I'm going to charge you X amount of dollars. Do we have a deal?
Well, they're not going to want to. They're going to say, I got a 45 to your head. You're going to do what I tell you.
Yeah, you would think that. Except I saw a lot of judges run out of the room, and I saw a lot of politicians step down, and I saw a lot of heads of corporations step down. So then what is it that I'm doing that's making this happen?
I don't know. Tell me, man. That's what you're here for.
That's
do
what
it.
I'm saying. So
rock and roll.
So what I'm saying is I stumbled onto something. Because it was all just trial and error. I was just doing the next thing in front of me, trying to get free of this thing. And then all of a sudden, they started running from it. And I mean big, big time people. So I went, okay, they know more than I do about this. And so I'm onto something. So I just kept going and you know, managed to get it to where I have a good enough understanding where I can teach others.
Teach them what? You're going to teach people that you're going to be making a claim on them or hold them liable, or you have some claim that you can then file after they either avoid it, they say, nope, we're not doing it, or They is it a criminal thing? Is it you're not totally agreeing on the software of upgrade? I totally agree. Nope, I'm not agreeing, or I'm conditionally agreeing, and here's my paperwork that says and sign or don't. Or I mean, you know, and what weight does that have? And what part in law are they contracting with a corporation of government that's got a contract with Verizon that's then going to force this on? You got to, man, don't make me ask 400 questions. I mean, come on.
Well, the thing is, they're relying on tacit agreement, and almost even the governments are relying on tacit agreement. They've got us signing up for voting lists. They've got us signing up for applying. And if you look up the word apply or petition, all these words is a subservient asking or begging for something from something authority. So they've got us doing these things, and therefore we're agreeing to it. I'm trying to tell
you. All right. I'll give you a perfect example. Hey, you had your chance. Now I get to do it. All right. We're going a week from now. We're Friday. There's a gym owner in Scottsdale. We're going to be doing a remote that he has told the government to get bent. I'm not locking down. You know, you're going to put me out of business. I'm open. You know, bring it on. Now, of course, they keep giving them a bunch of fines and paperwork and so on. You know, the community is starting to come together. We have another place. We're taking the bus up to northeastern Arizona, where a three-generation community family run a little breakfast lunch restaurant, and they're just telling them to get bent. We're not doing well. Of course, here they come. All right. How would they use your technique? What do they need to do? What do they not should not do? What sign, don't sign, participate, claim, whatever. You know, Cal Washington is going to save them. Woo, Arizona, here comes Cal. What are you going to do? Come on, Cal. Now's your chance. Let's do it.
Well, in those cases, the problem with that is there is an inherent.
We're going into break. You had your chance. You had a whole 5 seconds to tell me. All right. When we come back, you know, that's what Cal is tasked with. What should we do or not do? A lot of times people, they'll say, is this or is this not your signature on this piece of paper that you did? Ha! We got you. Well, don't freaking sign it, you know? Don't claim something, say something. It's always language. You know, you open your mouth, it's used against you. We'll make sure it doesn't.
Bitcoin.com has launched it.
Okay, that's what we'll do. We'll give a real-life example here or something. Here's a guy that has, I keep my business open, and they're coming in. Nope, we're going to fine you. You can't, and you're not, and always. And this is happening everywhere. Sooner or later, that's one thing about the Love Bus was about. And we're going around the country finding people that are resisting. And if they want to, we have, you know, sign production that we make. We, you know, print a bunch of stuff for activists. So we go in, so, going to slap that little city council around, you know, make some funny signs and get some. So we're doing that, and we're originally based out of Arizona, and we've been buttheads here forever. So I just got back like a week ago, and we came down from Washington State and for sunshine. Yeah. And what I'm want to have solutions for people, and a lot of times they just somebody shows up with a shiny badge and a gun, and they just, you know, sign here or we're gonna whatever. And you know, people sometimes have to be willing to spend a night in jail. You know, sometimes you just gotta, I've done my share, you know. I'm like, nope, we're gonna arrest you. I know. No, we really, really are. I go, I really, really know. You know, let's do it. Let's have a process. And then they're like, never convicted. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. They drop and let you go. They just want to show you they're willing to do it. Well,
yeah.
A lot of people need to be willing to take that hit and know they're on the right side. But a lot of people with a little bit of information like what you're talking about get inspired, and they get themselves in trouble because they don't understand what the hell you were talking about. So you better on my show be clear and not get people in trouble. You feel me? So So I'll give you that example. We got restaurant and business owners that are coming up against a man using their county administrative law of we say and, you know, in the edicts of executive order or if I rule you. So, you know, let's not get these people in trouble, you know, and if you if you got something to say, man, let's say it.
Anybody in trouble.
Now, don't be kind of this clandestine of, you know, join my thing and pay me and then maybe I'll something. I mean, you know, come on, let's not get people in trouble here. Because I got way too many people, they think, well, Ernie, I did what I go, no, that is not what I said. They get a little information, they get all full of something, they go get themselves in trouble.
I'm well aware of it.
All right. So let's not get people in trouble. When we come back, we're going to, you know, what should, in the lockdowns and stuff that's going on now, and then the next one is going to be, you talked about vaccinations. I'm all about, no, hell no, that ain't happening. You know, this notions and potions forced into my flesh by the crown, that never turns out well. You know, so we need to, you know, what can we do? I have 4 children and 12 grandkids. They're all not vaccinated. No, no, hell no. Pull their kids out of school, homeschooling. God, man, we're done. And they're great kids. They're healthy. They're the top of the class, teacher's pet of whatever the heck. And they said, yeah, we're, you know, we're done. So they're here in Arizona, we got quite a bit more support for homeschooling kind of stuff. But, you know, a lot of states are not. And then certainly when you get into, like you say, like a divorce proceeding, oh, my spouse doesn't mask up enough and they're endangering of whatever. And I got the court saying, oh, yeah, who mandates masks more than the other person? Oh, well, then you get the kids because you're a complier. You know, this is kind of stuff that happens all the time. Yeah. So I need what mechanism that you're doing, not just, you know, so you know, here's the paperwork and go whatever, but the concept that they understand that they're coming in as what, you know, you keep alluding to, I mean, I'm not motivated to go to your site and download the PDF yet, you know, so help me out here.
That's okay.
All right, yeah. Here we go. They're coming in 3 seconds.com.
Some of our live shows are streamed in HD on Twitch. Please follow and share at twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Cal Washington. Now it's InPowerMovement.com. Now we're trying to get you all motivated to go there and say, woo, I want to get learnified. I want to join the movement. I want to get something. I don't know what we're getting, but this is what we're going to find out. Right now, Bob and I leave Saturday night. We got at least 4 stops to make, different activists. 2 of them are businesses that are resisting and saying, hell no, and bite me, and we're not complying. And it's a restaurant that says, you don't like coming, you know, in here. We don't wear a mask. Don't come in. You know, then, of course, you got the Karens and the officials of your gotta and you have to. And here's your paperwork. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. Well, then it becomes you get an election. You have people running based on, you know, the will of the people is like, eh, we don't like this. We don't either. God, we'll see what happens. You know, here comes Biden's SWAT team or something. I have no idea. Yeah. You know, so what do you say? What do you or do not sign? How you set your standing? What do you call yourself? I mean, you screw yourself in the beginning. You know, there's something that you did, and they're sitting back going, 4 months from now, we're going to pull this out, and gotcha. Okay? Yeah. Now we have another gentleman that has a gym, and he closed down for 2, 3, 4 weeks or something in the beginning, and he's going, now they're running the middle class out of business. This is, they're just doing away. This is a whatever is takeover. So he's like, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. I, you know, do it. Well, you get another fine and another ticket and another penalty and another thing. Bring it on. And I'm like, ooh, I love those guys. We'll be there next Friday if he's still alive. We go there next Friday to have live remote from there. A lot of people will come. We'll be out there, and I'll go live me a wait, all right? You know, so this is but to help them make sure they don't make mistakes from the beginning, I need a conceptual, accurate context of what you're talking about so that we understand how to approach this and use your resources as a mechanism for us not being forced into things that we shouldn't be, or if you do it right, you don't have to be into. So Cal, skip to the end, man. What do I tell these people? Why are they going to your site?
Well, we're only offering on the 4 agendas that I mentioned earlier. And that's the reasoning for that is they are definitely commercial and they are harming everybody on the planet.
So you got commercial liability when it comes to smart meters, which we, you know, I tell them, get that son of a bitch off. We've already done that.
Yeah.
We have the 5G rollout, mandatory vaccination, and geoengineering. So let's go, you know, if you're more comfortable with picking one of these, mandatory vaccination, boom, do it.
Yeah, so mandatory vaccinations, again, it's a corporation. It's and you'll find Bill Gates is involved with most of them. But they're vaccine manufacturers, methodology manufacturers, how to put it in. These are all corporations, straight up. They've turned us all into merchants with your, what you call a SSN number. That is your merchant number. So they've turned you into merchants so that they can use ancient merchant law against you. And part of that is tacit agreement. That's the main thing where you don't even know you're agreeing to something.
The fact that you even have a social security number, you have agreed to all things with the number or whatever.
They've turned you into a merchant. That's your merchant number. If you go to open a bank account today, they will ask for that number. If you try and pay your taxes, they will ask for that number. If you try and do anything, they will ask for that number. That's because that's your merchant number.
Okay.
So that you are a merchant, period. Whether you like it or not, that's the bottom line. So you can either extract, like I did, which is a difficult process. But I looked at it and I went, okay, everybody's a merchant. We don't have time to get them out of the box. Treat them as if they are a merchant, use merchant law, then you can, you're tete-a-tete with a corporation, because you are a corporation. You can go tete-a-tete with Verizon or whatever it is and go, I see what you're doing. Here's my counter offer. Do we have an agreement? Because that's exactly what they did to you. And if you go silent, then you have agreed, because that's exactly what they've done to you.
Okay, so it's a piece of paper saying, this is my conditions, do you agree? And they put that in a pile over here in the trash can or something. I mean, are you filing it with the county recorder?
Yes.
Are you doing what?
Yeah. Yes, you would think that they would put it in the trash can if this was garbage. But what I've seen over the years in my life, and then even people that have done the process, is people step down from their position. Why?
Because they're personally responsible and liable for something.
And it's usually the higher ups, like way up the pyramid. Those are the people that seem to step down.
Step down from the case, extract themselves from the adjudication, what?
Step down from their position.
Entirely?
Yes. I saw judges, I saw politicians, high-ranking politicians. I'm in Canada. That would step down on the day they got their notice of default. Over and over and over. So it wasn't a coincidence. Because I thought it was a coincidence. And then when you see it 4 or 5, 11 times, it's like, no, this is real. They know it. I know it. They know that I know it. And that's why they leave me alone.
Okay.
So
I'm wanting some leave me alone. Now, being in Canada, what would be the difference between U.S. Courts and mechanisms here? Is it that you're in the same kind of thing?
It's exactly the same, except I'm dual citizen, but in the United States there is a constitution, and that is a document that is unique because we don't have one here. But as far as the commerce goes, it's identical. The United States is a corporation. Arizona is a corporation. Phoenix is a corporation.
Yeah. Okay, so how do I, I'm challenging what? The corporation of the city of Phoenix, the corporation of some utility, what am I doing?
Yeah, depending on what's going on. So what we're doing is the four agendas to keep everybody safe, because safety is my prime example, my prime objective, because I understand I've helped a lot of people and in court, I've got them out and then they get themselves right back in. And I've seen it over and over. So I understand the human nature. They just want to have this magic piece of paper, and there are no magic pieces of paper. You have to be able to stand in it. So we're only going with those four agendas because it is very clean, very clear. And the paperwork is written as if you don't know anything. You come in with zero knowledge. And if you start to learn on our site and even read the document over and over, you'll start to get it.
So mandatory vaccination, they're going to go, you can't get any government services. You can't get any government, your check, or you can't get your universal basic income. You can't get your whatever they're going to try and entice you with and con you into doing. And then it gets down to, I don't want any of that, and bite me. And then they'll go, you can't drive. You can't get an electrical utility line. You can't unless you sign and do. And then your counter is what?
The counter is you owe me money. That's the thing. And that's what seems to make them run.
Okay. And
there's also in the United States, in our document, we put forth the United States Constitution, and that if you're harming American people and or their property and or their livestock that feeds the people, and you're a part of that, that is called treason, period.
And you file paperwork. You're making a claim. Does it go to the court or does it go to the corporation?
There is no filing. You send it directly mano a mano. This is a deal between two merchants. It's a private deal, but when you go through what's called an administrative process, the paperwork, and I'm just telling you how the system works, not that I agree with it. The paperwork itself has value, as you alluded to, all the mortgages and stuff, and then they ship them all around, and it ends up in the system. That becomes money. The paper itself.
Usually with a government number. Now, this doesn't have a government number, or am I filing it with a recorder and getting a government number? I mean, what am I? That's the next question. We come back. What gives it value? How do they even know it's there? How is it tracked? Because usually it's some agent, and they got a barcode or a government number, and then it's traded and done, and that is how it goes. All right. We're going to find out. Cal Washington, InPowerMovement.com. Death of the state of a thousand cuts, man. Let's get a cut in there.
There are basically two types.
All right, so when we come back, I'm still trying to get the actual first step. You're going, all right, I make a claim. That I give you an example.
No, they've made a claim.
You make a counterclaim. Counterclaim. Okay.
And if you put your house up for sale, you put an offer out into commerce, any kind of offering, and then you don't honor it, it's illegal. You have to. If somebody comes to you and gives you like say your house is listed, if somebody comes to you with no conditions and gives you full value, you have to go through with the contract.
Well, I'm not putting out any my life for sale, or am I? I mean,
No, they are. They're saying, I have this wonderful vaccination that will cure you of COVID-19, and you will have a wonderful, happy life, and all this will go away, and the lockdowns will stop, and we can go back to the old normal, or we'll have a new normal. That's what they're offering. That's the offer. And a lot of people are buying into it, as you can see. So I go, yeah, I see your offer. I will accept your offer on the condition that you can prove it's safe.
These liability, documents that people have been doing. We've done shows on that and talked to people in the movement and so on. And we're heavily involved in it. But I know they go, well, as soon as you, Dr. Sir, can show me that you're going to take liability if I get a problem, we're all over it. Well, of course, they won't sign it and they don't want to do it, But
it's different. It's different if you offer the liability to them. I understand what you're saying. This is, I will accept your offer if you can prove it safe. If you cannot prove it safe within 30 days, then it is deemed that this is harmful. And therefore, if you continue to force this on me in any way, I will charge you per day, blah, 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 blah. Do we have a deal?
And they'll say no and screw you, and who's going to adjudicate?
That's right. So you also go, silence will be taken as tacit agreement, because that's exactly what you were just doing to me with the vaccines. If I don't say you see, you just turn, you ping pong.
But it always comes down to, I went through this before in the mid-90s, where a lot of the patriot community was doing the rights reserve thing. And even on my driver's license still, it has, Ernest Rights Reserves Hancock. I'm not in your thing. I reserve my rights to bite me. And people would go to court and say, I reserve my rights and I'm not in your civil court of ticket of what. And they go, all right, dismissed. To the point that the Arizona Attorney General did an opinion that he wrote and went to the Department of Motor Vehicles that you can't take an application that has rights reserved on it. They just don't take the application. So I'm going, okay. Then I had an old license, but then when they put the satellite private offices that could, you know, they DMV on, you know, the strip center of whatever. They don't care. You know, they have signed paper. They didn't know what they don't give a crap. So you do it anyway. You do it again. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. You know, so I'm wondering, you know, okay, it's that mentality. I just need to make sure that people understand when they, you know, sign into these government documents and they go in, that they need to have ready a form or a concept or an idea of setting conditions on this so that they're not tacitly agreeing, you know, to this. So this is the concept that I'm looking for so that we can share with people to understand. Don't agree to your enslavement before you even get started. And you can bitch about it later and it's too late. All right, we're coming back.
Yeah, but that's a difficult...
That's patreon.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Cal Washington, InPowerMovement.com. See, it's a concept. We need to, because what we're dealing with is, as we go through all of these, how did they get the power? How did they get jurisdiction? How did they get to where the purpose of government was to defend my individual rights, not take them away? It was to make sure I could keep my business open and not be quarantined in my house, not make me do it. You know, when did this change? How did that? Well, it's from your tacit approval. You agreed. You totally agreed by fill in the blank. Well, what if I don't agree? I go, I don't agree. I say, you know, you made this offer, this claim. You do this or this is going to happen. And I go, okay, I'll agree to what you're saying if you say after 2 weeks I can open. Do we have an agreement? They go, nope. You know, we're not going to, maybe we want to, I go, well, then I don't agree. You know, we tried and I said no. So I need to understand the attitude, the concept, the standing you have in resistance and to what?
Well, the thing is, you don't just put out a willy-nilly condition. It has to be with intent and purpose to get what it is you're trying to get, or if you're trying to get free, or if you're trying to get something or have something happen.
I don't want to be left alone is what I want. I want to be left alone. How do I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, left alone is, that's what I wanted when I got in there, and that's all I wanted. And so I challenge their jurisdiction, just like you said. Where does who said that? I got the attorney general to write me a letter, and after my brother got beat up, and he said, the courts have authority to make orders, and the police have authority to carry out those orders. And you're the problem, meaning me. I wrote him back, and I said, where did the courts get the authority from? I go for the jugular. Like, you just made this claim that the courts have authority. Exactly where does it come from? No answer. Well, if you don't have an answer, then you don't have authority. And then so this is how you do it. So if you cannot prove that you have authority, then you don't have it. And if you act like you do, I'm going to charge you money. Do we have a deal?
Okay.
So it's all about, it's a conceptual understanding what is going on.
Okay, the money part. What does it need to be? Substantial, $1, $25, $25,000. I mean, what?
You can have any amount you want. It has to be something reasonable. Like, you can't have a fee that it exceeds the amount of available money on the planet. I mean, that's just, you know, it has to be reasonable, but it also has to hurt. Otherwise, they're not going to do it. They have to feel that liability. Like, whatever they're gaining from this situation, you should at least balance that or more than the, so the liability side is higher than what they could possibly gain.
You know, the way that I approach this, you know, it was traffic tickets, or they just keep bugging you. Where I had a pizza restaurant, and we had delivery, and they would, you know, harass the drivers, or they'd do, you know, something if we weren't in compliance with whatever, and I'm always middle finger to the man. And I go, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I take the delivery vehicle, and I'd, you know, purposely not put the vehicle registration sticker. I'd be registered, but I wouldn't put it on the light. So they'd pull you over, and I can't find my, you know, my insurance. I'd go, you know, I would go to court. Well, of course, I'd produce it, but I would plead not guilty, have them come down, go through all the process, and I'd just cost them as much money as I could. I'm just like, you guys want to play, let's play. And I go down there and, you know, I just read the paper and have an hourly employee cover me at the restaurant, and it was close by. And so you get to where you start causing them money. You get the wear, you start give inconveniencing them more. Then you're like, damn, this ain't worth it. He's actually enjoying this at Butthead. Yes. You know, so it's more than that what you're doing. What you're doing is you're coming in and you're going, look, I'm challenging your authority, your jurisdiction, your justification, the entire process, and I'm charging you for pissing me off and making me waste my time. So you put in a fee schedule and you say, this is how much it. My claim is my time has value and you're taking up my time, so you owe me this. You know, and their counter is what?
They usually go silent, but what ends up happening is as you go through the process, the higher up the chain they are, the more they seem to run from this. So you'll get people stepping, like I saw it over and over and over and over, like not just one or two, like it was a lot. So I know that there's a correlation. A is causing B. And so the higher up the chain they were, the more they would leave. And it was always the day they got mail. Like there's no coincidences, or within like the next day. And a couple of weeks later, or even a month later, and I never even counted those. I'm counting the people that you send them a notice of default on the delivery, mail gets delivered around 11 o'clock. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're gone. Like, I'm leaving politics. You go, whoa. And you do this over and over and over, and you see it over and over and over. You go, okay, they understand this, or they're at least afraid of it.
You know, I remember this was a big thing in the mid-90s. In fact, they had a stamp, you know, that you would just use and stamp on any document, you know, that you did, UCC, rights reserved, you know, that kind of thing. And it got to the point to where there were certain judges, they called them patriot judges, and they would always assign them to this because that's where the phrase, Constitution has no authority in my courtroom, bam. You see? So you could see there was something going on. I'm like, what the hell? Then we have Barrett being confirmed as a Supreme Court justice and Kamala Harris, senator, now, you know, VP almost elect kind of thing. And she was asking a question. She goes, what is your position on administrative law? From out of the blue, everybody's like, nobody understood what she was asking, because it was called Chevron deference case, to where the commissions and all these committees and everybody, the Supreme Court says when it comes to violating right, we just defer to the expertise of the committee of we don't have anything to do with it. You know, the Federal Election Commission, the EPA, you know, whatever these, you know, bureaucracies. And I'm going, there is something that they're going to use administrative law against us. It's this stuff. You know, and I see it coming, not just because they've used it up to now. They've been able to do all this kind of crap, and it's all a sustainable development, and I got a shiny badge with a county of you're not allowed to open. So this is going to be coming in a freaking tsunami wave. So we need to understand this so that we don't put ourselves in compliance and just we agreed, totally agreed to it. A human centipad. I mean, you know, so I'm how far off am I?
You're nailing it. They've been using administrative law for a long time. They've been using law merchant. And I should tell you that historically, Lord Mansfield in England in the 1700s fused the law merchant with the common law. They became one. And that's what's going on. So we think that we have a common law here in North America or in the Commonwealth, but they have fused law merchant to deal with merchants. The judges were to take judicial notice of merchant law when dealing with merchants. Well, guess what they did? Turned us all into merchants. So now you think you're going into a court of law, but you're actually going into a merchant court.
So is this what they're talking about? Admiralty courts and fringing on flags and going past the bar and all?
Admiralty is a misnomer. I mean, there is admiralty law. But there is a law on the land of the law of the merchants, the old fairs, the international fairs they used to have, and the pie powder courts, the staple courts back in Europe, like long before all this was here. So there was a law that was outside of the common law that was international amongst merchants. They all understood how it worked. Tacit agreement was part of that. Like if you didn't understand how it worked, you would get taken advantage of. But if you did understand how it worked, you could not be taken advantage of. So everybody understood this. It was like a unwritten sort of way of doing things. They fused that into the common law a long time ago and didn't tell anybody. Then they turned us into merchants, and then they assume you walk in the door, you're a merchant. So you should understand this. So ignorance of the law is no excuse.
So, yeah, the best defense against whatever they're going to mandate and do and so on is to be able to understand you're not dealing with a court system as much as administrative judges, that you need to go in as an equal merchant of, I'm going, all right, well, then here's my condition to this contract you want me to enter into. But where's the force of them forcing this contract? You know, where does that come in? You know, it's just a threat. They fine you, and you go, like, all these guys that won't close their business, they give them a fine, and then they go, you know, well, I say I'm fining you for bugging me. I mean, is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
All right. You know, you want to know more? InPowerMovement.com. How would we, test this, manifest it? People, you know, we could use it, right? Here it comes. All right. Here it comes. We got to go to your webpage and sign up and, you know, freaking learnify me. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some people need to. We've talked about this before, and the more we get to understand that the real problem, administrative law, which is part of all this, I would imagine. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Cal. All right. There, we're at the end of the show. We can yak it for a minute here. Let me get it. Turn it off. Okay. I've heard a lot of this before, and understand as you go through it, the base bottom line is that they're dealing with you not as a government, but as a corporate entity of whatever the hell, of which you, and not being governed or even governable as an individual, you have equal parity with all these guys in their fine hats and shiny badges and guns and stuff. So you're saying, all right, you guys want to play, I'll play. And I say, this is my counterclaim, because I say you're effed up like polio, and this is what I want to do. What do you want to do? They, oh, we don't want to do that. Well, then go away. You know, I saw it happen. We were in New Hampshire, and they went after him. They tried to get for a neighbor doesn't like that he shoots on his property, which is legal in New Hampshire. You know, on Sundays they do what they call gun church every other Sunday, and because you got to practice religiously. So they out there on their land, and they're, you know, learning stuff and having fun. Well, the neighbor is like, he's, you know, I don't know, retired teacher or something. You know, they don't like it. So they go, well, he has a junkyard. He's got a junkyard out there because he has, you know, like trailers and RVs and cars and all that kind of stuff. He's, you know, got acres in New Hampshire. You know, bite me. Nobody sees it. You got to go there to go see it, you know. So he goes, all right, we got to go play. He goes down to the city. I went with him. And he goes, and I read the law, and it doesn't really apply to him. They're just making it up, but that, you know, beside the point. So he goes, I want to make sure you understand. So he reads a statement, you know, of his position, and his claim, my claim is, I charge $50,000 for doing whatever per hour and this and kind of, you know, and here's my claim. Now I have freedom of information request for like 8 different things. Well, they go through it, and it just so happens, one of the things that they went through from the founding of the town was that they have no jurisdiction over the private use of somebody's own property. And they go, and he goes, well, now we're done now, right? And they're like, damn it, I hate when people read that crap. But, you know, the point that he was making is like, you guys want to play, you got to show me that my claim doesn't have value. I say your claim's right. Full of crap. This is my claim for even bugging me. You know?
Yes.
So then let's go adjudicate wherever you want. Let's play. Then they're like, damn it, I hate when these freaking libertarians do this stuff. Well, this is stuff that he learned in dealing with Massachusetts. And it's the same kind of, you know, I know he doesn't get a driver's license. He doesn't use a bank. He doesn't do, you mean, it's all crypto and cash and silver and whatever the heck. But what he has done is he structured his life in such a way that he receives no benefits from the state.
That's right.
So this is where they get you. And I've seen it in court before. Somebody was making this kind of argument. It was in the 90s here in Arizona. And they go, well, you look pretty well fed. I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with it? He's talking to this guy. And he go, yeah. And he didn't, you know, fall for it. And then he went on. The bottom line was, well, you went to the grocery store, right? Oh, well, how'd you pay for that food? Oh, Ferns, boom, you're in, tacit agreement. I mean, no, yep. Whatever thread they can pull. So
that's right.
When you have a gentleman that goes, no, I'm not getting a driver's license. And any time that they pull him over, they bring him in, he goes through all this stuff. I'm going to charge you for whatever. So they just leave him alone. Now, the guy that they go after is not the guy doing the stuff that you're talking about. It's the guy that's teaching people to do the stuff that you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen this over and over and over.
Yes.
They don't go after the individual. They go after the guys teaching them.
I know.
Well, have they come after you?
No.
You don't think they will? Or you want them to? Bring it on.
Here's the thing. I'm not tooting my own horn, but they have a case here that they cite across Canada. Meads versus Meads. It came out of Alberta, and somebody was using all this mumbo-jumbo patriot lore, blah, blah, blah. So they listed all the gurus, the teachers of this. My name was not on it. And yet, I have letters from the CRA, which is like our IRS, the head of the IRS, using my name in as she's writing letters. We understand Mr. Washington has his views and blah, 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 blah. This, I'm helping somebody else. Has his views on blah, 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 but we, blah, 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 you know, and they're mumbo jumbo. We have authority. So they know exactly who I am. They know exactly where I am, even though I'm extracted, but I'm not hiding. And they don't come after me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm helping people with tax, what would be the easiest thing to do? Like you said, why don't we go after him? So that he stops helping. And I don't help people anymore anyway, because for reasons we just discussed, it just gets them in more trouble. And so they don't come after me. They didn't come after me. And I haven't filed in like 17 years.
This has been another, there's a gentleman that helps people extract themselves from the system, but still be able to get a passport. This is what's happened. Can you live in the United States and be, you know, a citizen, non-citizen, you're a citizen of the state and not the federal, blah, 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 blah. I resend my, you know, social security number. I don't give a crap about this or that. Oh, yeah? Well, then you're not getting a passport to travel. You're a freaking prisoner in America now. So then what they do is they got paperwork from the Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State's office, that yes, you can do an addendum to your application. Because what happened, there was a dent in the Browns. I don't remember in New Hampshire that didn't pay federal taxes, and they did a standoff, you know, a decade or so ago against these guys. And Dr. Ron Paul was in support and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, they had a standoff, and eventually they arrested them. They go in to court, and at the end of it, you know, they go, well, they produced a passport. And the passport application says, I attest under penalty of perjury that I am a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. Boom, guilty. Done. There, you signed it. I totally agreed. All right? So they came out of that. One of the guys that, you know, witnessed that and went through this process, he goes, there's got to be a way that I could travel, you know, and not, you know, do this. So there was a provision that allows you to do an addendum, or you can file other paperwork in support of your application. In the application, it says, I am not this, that, and I retract any and all that, and blah, 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 blah. And then they file it with, you know, a county recorder. They get, you know, they get their paperwork, and boom, they're done. Mm-hmm. They get their passport, but they have not agreed. So should this come up again and they don't pay federal taxes, then they go, well, we go, ah, well, this was part of my thing, and I'm not. So bite me.
Right.
Okay? So it's that kind of thinking that every time you fill out a piece of paper, you're always attesting that, yes, you are under their contract jurisdiction of whatever the hell.
Yes.
So all of these people have Social Security numbers and passports and everything.
Yeah.
I have to actively retract extract myself from that.
Yeah, and like your guy that has the restaurant. Unfortunately, that restaurant is registered at the state or the city or whatever it is.
Totally agree.
And Reggie, if you look up the root of Reggie, it's King. You've signed it over. Like, they own that thing.
Okay, I give you an example. I had a restaurant for about 5 years, and when we first opened it, we did tenant improvements, everything built to open. Here we go. Well, the county health department pissed me off because they were just doing a shakedown. Oh, that's going to take like, you know, 2 weeks for us to, but you can pay this expedition fee, you know, expediting fee of $500 and we'll come down. We can do it right today. And I go, oh, okay, screw you. Well, you can come by or not, but I'm open. So just, you know, get over it. Sure enough, they had enough three guys coming in, and I go, I'll be right with you. Yeah, deliver that and do that. I'm sorry, you what? You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead and try and close me, some bitch. I mean, we're going to get it on right now. So they just finally, you know, just backed off. It was years later, and we had, you know, a bunch of constant, you know, I'm an activist and press stuff and things happen. But what happened was they, right when I had sold it, and there was a three-month overlap period that we were helping the new owners and so on, I get a letter. And they go, hey, we noticed on your former application here, you didn't sign it. Well, I sent the check. You cashed it. You did the thing. You gave me my shit. I'm not my fault. And you missed me by that much because now I'm gone. Okay. So I knew better, you know, than to, you know, agree to, I did, I can give you a long story of all this kind of crap, you know, it's just, but I knew from the beginning that they need your signature. They need your compliance. And I just didn't do it. And they cashed a check, gave me my stuff, and they didn't notice till later they wanted to go get some on Ernie. Damn it. He didn't sign it. You got to sign. No, I'm gone. I'm done. You had your chance. 5 years. You missed it by that much.
Yeah, when you start to understand Law Merchant and realize that it's real, your signature can be turned into money on a blank piece of paper. It's scary, dude. Like, what's going on?
You mean a blank piece of, you know, how do they, you know, a filing of, what they're looking for is that they're going to increase their value by getting a fine or a penalty or something out of you. That's what gives it power. That's what gives it value.
Yes. Yes. Your signature gives it value because the merchants were allowed to write what's called bills of exchange, and it was a promise to pay. And if you look at an FRN, it's a promise to pay, but you don't ever get whatever it is they're promising to pay with it. We just circulate them around. That's all Law Merchant stuff. That's ancient stuff. The merchant class would just basically write up IOUs and people would pass them around as if they're good. But nobody ever went to the merchant and go, yeah, by the way, can I collect this?
You know, that's one thing that we discovered years ago is that any fine, any traffic ticket, any criminal whatever, anything, all of a sudden, boom, that goes into some bucket or pile because that piece of paper has value from averaging of how much fine or something they're going to get, you know?
That's right.
And so it's traded. And then, you know, it does or die. That's just weird. You know, and the more paperwork they can, you know, generate, the more they get money for something. Where does that go?
Yeah, well, whether it's weird or not, and I agree, I came to the conclusion, I'm not going to fight this. I'm actually going to use this against them. That's what I did. If you're saying my signature or signatures and certain wording on a piece of paper has value, well, then I'm going to learn how to create those. And that's what we're doing. And that's why they run.
Okay. I need more information on this.
It's not something you can get in an hour, in an hour interview. But what I'm doing is I'm recognizing, okay, you're using Law Merchant against us, and I don't really agree with it, but I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to use it against you. Then they started running, like lots of them.
So they go, we got a piece of paper that, boom, and you got a piece of paper and you agreed for something. You go, well, I don't agree. Or can you retroactively rescind some signature or some agreement? Yep. Or you go, I don't want to do it anymore? Or
anything can be corrected in commerce. That's one of the rules. So I came into new knowledge. Here's now the new agreement. Do we have a deal? And it's always like, do we have a deal? If you go silent, and you have to tell them, if you go silent, then you've agreed to this. Boom.
Okay. I'm interested in this, but I think it comes down to barrel of a gun stuff. I mean, they're eventually just going to go, yeah, well, you're just, and you're dead. I mean, you know, I'm wondering.
I'm here.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm, you know, they have revolutions over this stuff. I mean, sooner or later, they just go, yeah, well, because we've got F-16s. And you go, oh, okay. So that's why it's all about legitimacy of government. They have to have some kind of legitimacy. And at some point, they'll just go, yeah, we're illegitimate, bang. You know, it's like, see, this is how I explain it to the audience. I go, you know, it's like all this act, when you understand what they're doing and you start, you know, slapping them around, you understand how the game is played. It's like playing chess with a three-year-old. I mean, you got to go through the process, but sooner or later they get frustrated, stand up on their chair, knock all the pieces on the floor, pull out a 45 and shoot you in the head. I mean, you know, you think you're going by their rules, and their rule is I win because I got a 45 in my pocket, and we're done.
Well, that's what I found when I tried all the processes of you know, rights reserved, or I'm not the name, you can't spell my name capitalized. I did all that crap. And all I got was bam, 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 arrested, you know, pepper sprayed at this. Yeah. You know, that's all that happened. That's what happened. The minute I did my first commercial move, the judge ran out of the room. I'm like, instead of me running, he's running. And I mean, literally got up and ran out of the room. And I went, and everybody in the room was like, what just happened here? They call my name. He runs. Cape flowing in the wind. It's like, okay, what was that? Maybe we're on to something. Maybe that was a coincidence. Maybe he had diarrhea. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking he had to run, man. And he didn't come back.
He did come back, but I didn't have enough knowledge to know that he came back in another capacity at the time. So he came back about a half an hour later. And so we just kept doing it. Let's try it again. Another judge runs out. Another judge recuses themselves. Another judge retires. And it's sort of like, okay, after you see 4, 5, 6, 7 of these, you go, this is definitely happening. These people are definitely afraid of something.
Yeah,
what is it?
I've seen this where it's when they started this, the Constitution means nothing in my court. When That's they said that, I'm going, why? What the hell you think this is? Because their court, they claim this administrative thing. And administrative has nothing to do with, you know, whatever the hell else this is. Even when you get up to the Supreme Court, they go administrative law is not. And that's why Kamala Harris was asking Barrett this. You know, what's your view on administrative law? Well, I'm going, you know, sooner or later, that needs to be adjudicated as, you know, it's unconstitutional because of whatever and these agreements. And I totally agree. Or is that what they're going? Nope, you agreed because you know, by tacit approval, you know, you by even having a driver's license, yada, 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 yada. And what they do is they just make your life hell and as inconvenient as they can to get you as, yeah, whatever, man, I totally agree. And this is why, you know, I'm going on. So I always say it with the audience. I'm going, yep, I totally agree. Totally agree. Totally agree. I agree to have my, you know, lips sewn to somebody else's butt and be the human scent iPad. It won't read. You know, I'm just like, you know, I totally agree. And this has been, that was a South Park episode. But anyway, you totally agree. And then they can do whatever the hell they want. If you have a mechanism to go, I don't agree. Now let's go, you know, and adjudicate, you know, you say that I agreed, I didn't agree. Now where's your jurisdiction? So that is the attitude that we need to have and going up against this stuff. Certainly as they're coming, and it's at the county level, all these administrative law edicts of we got pieces of paper and we're going to make you. And they go, because you agreed. So these businesses and the lockdown and everything, they go, hey, did you or did you not get a tax permit, a this permit, a restaurant permit, a health permit, a liquor permit, a license of the yada, 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 yada. The fact that you did that and you signed it, well, then you agreed. So I'm going, all right, well, I just opened and you did a barbershop of, you know, bite me. I'm not getting an agreement or nothing. And now what? Yeah. They go, oh, we got jurisdiction. I go, all right, then you start filing all that crap, you know, saying that, nope, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say this on the air, but because people just get the wrong idea. But if I was in that case, I would go, yeah, I signed all that. But where did you give me full disclosure? Where was the meeting of the minds where you told me exactly what I would be getting into? Therefore, this contract is null and void, ab initio, from the beginning. And here is now the new contract. Do we have an agreement?
Okay. So that is part of your counterclaim. Is that I have new information. I was not fully informed. There was not a meeting of the minds. So then I am doing a new contract. That's where you get the justification.
New meeting of the minds on this agreement.
Okay.
Now, see, if I say that on the air, everybody's going to go off and just, and they won't understand what they're doing and just blah, blah, blah. And that's why it's about safety, right? So that's why I'm a little bit hesitant to say stuff on the air, because people just go off half-cocked. But that's how you do it.
Okay.
It's all contract.
So
all
in contract. They go to your page, empowermovement.com, and you're kind of, videos, you're walking them through it, you got PDFs of the documents. I mean, you know, what are you getting there?
Yeah, there's like this interview, if we're allowed to have it, will be on there. So all my interviews, teachings, we've had lots of Zoom meetings where there's lots of Q&As from people all around the world. Mm-hmm. And so all those things are answered. We have, frequently asked questions that are written out. We're going to have a dynamic site and be able to teach people how to stand in all of this, like how to be who you're meant to be in this world. And that's what's going to make the difference.
You know, I'm an old enough activist, you know, since the late 80s, you know, I was a young man and, I'm 59 now, born 61, graduated high school 79, that kind of thing. And I remember
I'm 76. So I'm 62 years old.
Oh, okay.
I'm the same vintage as you
kind of in the same rock and roll. All right. I've seen a lot of this, come to pass. And one way that they understood this and the banking system and everything, I remember in the early, mid-90s, there was this liens that they would put on judges, and then they would monetize that and become their own bank that had warrants that they actually would buy cars with and stuff, and it was legal. And they go, damn it, man, they're penetrating the bureaucracy. I mean, I remember them arresting some dentist here in Scottsdale, and of course they made a big thing out of it. And he bought this Hummer with whatever the hell, or what was he bought Range Rover or something? And but then they didn't prosecute. They were just like, they had some kind of we can make your life a living hell, and you got licensing and all that kind of stuff. We'll just make it go away. So they got the PR from it, wanted to put the fear of God into everybody and have them stop it. But they had penetrated the bureaucracy, and they were acting as their own merchant in the system of we did it. And they're going, damn. Well, that's where a lot of these liens, they would go against the bonds of judges and so on. Well, then a lot of them couldn't get bonded then, and they couldn't. Caused all kinds of problems, and it's because they understood this stuff. As time goes on, the counter is, I got a freaking gun, and a lot of times anybody that has a license or something, permission slip to operate a business or so on, they would go after that. Well, I'm hoping, certainly with this lockdown and pandemic and all this other crap that's going on, they start to realize that was the golden lasso they put around your neck, and that you're agreeing to them being able to shut you down. And you got to, extract yourself. So I can see this movement, if there was, because that's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind, these people that I'm talking to, I go, well, go check this out. I mean, what else are you going to do? Close? And then when they come in and they adjudicate, and you go, and they're going, but it's not fair and it's constitutional and whatever the hell. But if they make the argument, you know what? I got a separate claim. I'm doing this. I say you guys owe me money now, you son of a bitch. Now what? And they go, damn it, I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that would be, a tactic?
Yeah, it is a tactic.
Well, I'm wanting to help people that, they think they're, the government showed up with a piece of paper and a badge and a gun, and you go, here's my claim. I claim that you guys suck. I understand you're effed up like polio, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. It's all about claims. And
but it's never going to be an attorney that would take that on.
No. They're vested with the system. The attorney will not take us on. You have to stand in this as your own merchant. They will not help you with that. Even the most activist attorney, as soon as they see this, they're like, they won't touch it.
Yeah, because they go after your bar card. You're doing it wrong, man. You're not playing the game right.
You're not playing inside the sandbox where we get all the money and all the everything.
All right. And you're based out of what? You're in Canada?
I'm in Canada. The Empower is based out of the United States, in it's in Maryland. But
So the access to this information is, you do what? A lot of training, Zoom meetings, walking through of something. All right. I'm interested in this. We've talked to a lot of people about this, because I can see this administrative law really rearing its head. That's how they're doing a lot of this sustainable "we rule you" crap. And when
everything
I caught it where I think a lot of people didn't. When Kamala Harris, during the Barrett confirmation thing, well, what's your position on administrative law? And I'm like, what? You know, why would they even, you know, what the hell? Then, you know, the gentleman that encouraged us to have you on, it was him that, no, it was another guy. Well, he listened to the show that I did, the guy named Eric Schein. And Eric, kind of got caught up in administrative whatever with a merchant marine that went in with the Coast Guard of the man doing whistleblowing of something. And all of a sudden now he's, whoa, what the hell are they doing? And as he's scratching the surface on this, he came across a lot of this, how the administrative law stuff works. And so I can see that this has validation of what they're afraid of. They don't want you to understand a lot of this stuff, but this is how they're doing a lot of the sustainable development and what you can and can't do, because they got you to sign something. They got you to think you need to have permission to open a business.
Not even sign. Like, signing is very strong, but they use tacit agreement. And I'm not telling you that I agree with tacit agreement.
Yeah, but you didn't complain.
But,
so you're in.
Yeah. It's how it works. And I had to actually deal with what it is, not what I think it should be. I had to go, okay, this is what they're doing. So you know, whether I agree with it or not, this is how it works. And I'm going to use tacit agreement against them.
All right.
So I take the same tactic they're using and flip it, because it's supposed to be a balanced system. If you understand the ancient law merchant, it was meant to be balanced, to keep everything fair.
Well, it's always,
but they all understood it, and we're in ignorance so that we get taken advantage of.
Yeah, those got their system, the benefit, and it doesn't benefit them. You know about it. They sure as hell aren't going to teach it to you in school or anything. I mean,
No.
That's the last place they're going to learn about it. You know?
Yeah, so I learned the hard way, dude. Like, I went through and I got pepper sprayed and arrested, and then I started doing commercial process. It was just the next thing I was going to try, because I tried it, like, I tried it all. And then, as soon as I did my first, like, I bonded the case that was already running for like a year and a half, put the bond in, all of a sudden the same judge is running off the bench. Like, what happened?
Okay, we mean put a bond in.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to know. But you can bond because you're a merchant. So the old
Okay,
way,
did you like, bond the case with an actual insurance or bonding agent or something? Or you just said you did? Or you're your own bonder?
It's based on my birth certificate, which is a bond, but I'm allowed to, in order for them to use it, they can't say that I can't use it. All these things is like, there. If you're doing it, why can't I do it?
Yeah. There was a lot of this, they go, online or back and forth. We have a good friend of ours that retired postal worker that went through this and I went with him as a witness one time. They go in to file it with the treasurer's office of the state, and they go and file with the secretary of state. But a lot of it was filing it with the county recorder and get the document published, and you get a little barcode of whatever. Well, some of the counties here, they wouldn't do it. They're like, whoa, they already know not to do it. So you have to go to another county, and finally you get it filed somewhere. You kind of slip it in, they don't know, and they stamp it and whatever, they don't care. But some of these guys are trained, do not take these, because they don't want you to know. They don't want you to be able to do it. So then it's like, and we've had lawsuits that we've done against government agencies for them. They're clerks and recorders are part of the executive branch, and they're there not to adjudicate it. They're not a judiciary branch. They're just there to stamp it and put it in. If somebody wants to challenge it, do it later. Well, this is what they were doing. So that was one of my lawsuits against them taking an initiative to do, because what they were doing with a tax to fund a football stadium, baseball stadium, and it's always just kind of crap, and they were being scumbags. So we would go and say, all right, we're going to do an initiative. ab initio to retract what you got, the empowerment of yada, yada, yada. So when we did that, they go, nah, we're not taking it. Really? Well, now we got a case because you're being judicial branch. When you're executive, you're supposed to do this. You're not sitting there going to judge it before you even do it. You know, but you see, my point is they don't care. You know, you got to keep going after them.
Yeah, you got to go. You have to go to a higher jurisdiction to to deal with the jurisdiction that you're dealing with. That's another key concept. You have to go higher than what you're, where the problem is.
Make them say it.
And what I found was Law Merchant, the ancient Law Merchant, and it goes way back into Hammurabi and like ancient stuff. That's where, that seems to be where they actually start to listen. Like they actually, this is a problem. And I don't know why. I don't know who's adjudicating above that, but there's something. And so you when you go back to that system, that's when they start running, especially the upper ones, the very top of the heap.
Because they're the ones that get asked about, do you support administrative law?
Yeah, and okay. they have knowledge of it. Like the more you go through the initiations and all that garbage that I'm sure you're aware of, the higher up the pyramid you go, the more knowledge you have, because they can trust you because they got something on you, right? Because you've gone through this this crap. Well, it's those people that are starting to go into that realm of things. They're the ones that run.
I'm interested in this, in having an example of some, and I've seen it. You know, we have friends that they just do it. They just leave them alone because, damn it, you know, they're like, you know, don't tell anybody, but we're going to let you go, you know, that kind of thing. And this lockdown has really opened up enormous opportunities for people to understand and use this mechanism of, you don't have jurisdiction because I'm not agreeing and I'm redoing my agreement of. So I don't want to get people in trouble by, you know, telling them something I don't fully understand or even think that they're not going to have any problems. But it's getting to the point of desperation. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, well, the lockdowns is and a lot of people want me to do lockdowns and masks, and unfortunately, I can't do that because it's so different everywhere. There's a lot of illusions of lockdown and a lot of illusions of mask, mandatory mask, but they're not there. So if you start to do administrative law and start charging people for something where they're not really harming you, now you're into some bad water.
Well, this is what they're doing when they actually come and give somebody a citation. They actually are saying, you can't, here's your bill, you owe us. You know, there's an opportunity there somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible. But even then, they can bill you and you can, you know, in pure Law Merchant, you could just go, okay, I see your bill. Can you, if you can prove to me that I owe this bill based on something, then I'll pay it. And if you can't, then you owe me double back. Do we have an accord?
And they that's go, yep, we say you agree because you signed this. So you got to retract.
You don't have to have any them sign anything.
No. They're going to say that you signed your city tax permit, business, whatever the hell to begin with. You got to retract from that first or what?
Again, it's like if that's what they come back with, because you're now in the meeting of the minds. This is the negotiation part of a contract. So if they come back with that and they say, oh, yeah, but you signed this, and usually they won't because they don't want to reveal that. So if they say, well, because you signed here, can you explain to me, can you show me where, okay, I agree with that. Can you show me where you told me that I would be, you'd be holding this against me in this fashion? So where you gave me full disclosure of what I was signing?
Okay. Well, it may be, you know, statute stroke dash, we rule you and everything you ever did because we said. I mean, you know, whatever.
I'm telling you, this is what ends up happening is they don't have it.
I'd like to check. You know, we'll see. Well, they didn't have it on me because they didn't sign it. You know?
That's right.
And I'm going, you had your chance. But
they don't have any authority other than commercial law, administrative law. And the only, and in the United States, the supreme law is the Constitution. And that's why they want to get rid of that thing.
Man. All right. It's going to take people actually doing. I mean, I can't recommend. I'm trying to extract myself as much as I can from everything by it. But it's see, it's just going to force you into. You gotta be your own lawyer all the time. You know, I went to Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and made my own argument. I mean, I've you know, on a bunch of stuff. I've had three cases in Arizona Supreme Court. I make them say it. I didn't really care. You know what they said. I just want you to say it. Go on record. I got discovery. I'm going. Okay. You said it though, didn't you? So I just that was really my learning process. And it wasn't that I was trying to get out of it. I just wanted them to reveal themselves. Well, now as time goes on, if I was to go another generation of me going in court or challenging stuff, it would be this. You know, I'm going, this administrative law thing, this is, you're just making it up as you go along. There's not even a statute. It's not even, you just gave this authority, you rule me. And I go, I say no, now what? I mean, let's, meeting the, yeah, more than mines.
If there is a smart judge and they start to get into that, you go back to Lord Mansfield, fused the law merchant into the common law. Show me where it got removed.
Well, you mean they're going to go, oh, we're not doing it that way because you know that way. We're going to do it another way, or so, which is what happened. I've been in court where when we did that initiative in the county, there was one, what they had done is they took the county board of supervisors and they created a stadium district, and they wanted to be able to tax and bond and all this other stuff. Well, when they did that, they became a municipal corporation. Well, in the state of Arizona Constitution, all municipal corporations are susceptible to initiative recall and referendum. So I go, I filed the recall of the stadium district having the power to create the tax. And they go, oh, no, we're not susceptible. Really? Well, then you're not a municipal corporation then. Well, yeah, we are because we want to do the bonding, but we're not because of you filed against the board of directors is the stadium district, but they're the different. Blah, blah. So what I did is I filed against both of them at the same time. I go, who are you now? And they're like, damn, I hate when they do that, you know? So it was just a game. And what was demonstrated to everybody is that they don't give a crap about legal or law. It's whatever they can get away with, you know? That's right. So I need some kind of other arrow in my quiver, you know, for should this stuff come up again, to where I'm going, look, I'm not even under your jurisdiction. I hear all about this, admiralty law and the merchant of the blah, 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 blah. But then I'm starting to see to where they have to show your agreement. They have to show that you were involved. Then we have the other mechanism where they're going, look, I'm not in agreement. I made it clear here. I'm not doing it. Now what? And they go, well, damn it. Well, boom, you're dead. I mean, there's something. They're going to be the three-year-old knocking all the pieces on the floor and pumping a 45 in you. And then we got a revolution.
Yeah. Well, the problem with I don't agree is that's against law merchant. You have to agree. There always has to be a conditional agreement. That is the principle. It's one of the principles.
So you got to offer up your conditions.
That's right.
These are my conditions. I agree to this. And they go, nope, it can't be like that. It's got to be a one-sided contract with our form and our fields and yes, no's on our stuff.
And yeah, go, show me where I have to do that in law merchant, in common law, in equity law. Show me where I'm bound.
So the entire country has to be in open rebellion, disagreement, challenge of we're not doing it because we're not doing it. Or we got our own agreement. We got to change, and so that's where you come in. You have the forms of, all right, this is, I'm not in, I don't have to comply because you didn't have a meeting of minds of an agreement for me to comply with.
Yes. So this is a peaceful way of doing it. It's it has aggression because it's money, but it doesn't, there's no violence. There's no bodily movements or anything like that. It's just pieces of paper and people making a stand inside themselves. Like, no, I'm not going to do this, or I'm agreeing to this, but I'm put conditions on it. And if they don't meet those conditions, then I'm standing right here. This is my claim, and you owe the money according to your system.
All right. I got beat on it now, but it takes, people doing it. And I've met some courageous people that are going through this process, and they don't have any problem with it. Bring it on. Let's do it.
Yeah. And so we've had the documents out there for 5 years. Nobody's been charged. with any kind of paper terrorism. We've had the threat of harassment charges in Pennsylvania over and over and over, but we just kept sending the second round, but nobody's been charged. Because it says right in there, the intent is not to harass. It's a safe document as long as it's done on those four agendas. And so we will only support those four agendas, and I don't teach anybody to do anything else because they get themselves in trouble.
Okay. Did you go to Love Bus Liberty Tour at all when Donna sent you some stuff? Did you see what we're doing?
No.
All right.
I didn't have time.
Let me share a screen here. I'll show you. Because what you got, you know, this is something that we would, because it is, we're primarily focused on mandatory vaccination prevention, and it would be very interesting to have, you know, a mechanism by which we can, be able to resist in some way. So I'd like that. Okay, let me pull.
Yeah, this, I mean, the fact that they statutorily removed liability from vaccination things, and if you read the acts, I think you would get it if you read it. It says liability in a state or federal court. This is outside of that. It's extrajudicial.
Okay, this is where I'm at right now. We're in the Love Bus. And we travel. It's a big MCI bus that converted into a studio, and my wife and everything. So we're sitting in here. There's the microphone, okay? So this is we bringing this around. The primary focus of this is, no mandatory shots. You know, we do a bunch of stuff and yada yada. I'm trying to, like, here's some signs. Here's in Michigan, we helped them. We have a 100-watt laser and we make these templates for this stuff. Shut up and believe. Why so serious, Whitmer? And so we supply a lot of signs to these people. Liberty wears no mask. So we got a mask thing. Support first responders to say no to mandatory shots. We got a bunch of these. So we're activists, we're street activists doing this kind of stuff. So if you, in this group and the attention that we get and the activists and the people that we're working with, if we can have them a mechanism by which they start challenging this en masse, because all it is just a claim. Okay, well, I say no, show me where. And there's a lot of people that may be willing to do this if it's a clear understanding of what they're doing. I don't want them to get themselves in trouble, because then there's the counterpunch in the second. And once they start talking, they see a bunch of this happening, they'll come after.
Yeah.
So
far we've had nobody charged with anything. They've tried once to get into a court, and then they've tried a couple of times to get into commission hearing on the smart meters. And we just say you can't do it because it's written right in the contract. Another thing about contracts is if it says you can't take it into a court, you can't take it into a court. See, this is the thing. They're using administrative law and contract law and merchant law. And as soon as you are at the same level as them and you say so, you say you can't take this into a court. They don't. It's incredible, man. I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch.
I'm hoping. All right. I'm wondering how Matt learned about you. Do you know who Matt White is out of Virgins, Vermont?
No.
Okay. He probably came across you somehow or something, because I'd done a couple of shows on this with Eric Schein, which is he really, everybody that does this kind of stuff, you suffer, freaking just, opportunity cost, because you could be doing other stuff, But the... Yeah. It's in, and it looks like you've monetized it a little bit or something to cover your cost or whatever. But I'm hoping that if we can get something done or encouraged and add it to the quiver of, something to do, and it be peaceful and you not get shot right away, and it be just asking questions. A lot of times just asking questions, freedom of information request, freaks them out. They don't know what the hell to do. And So we can add this arrow to the quiver. You got people that are doing this and have some success on this mandatory vaccine thing. Let me know.
Yeah, we haven't released the vaccine one, but as soon as we do, it'll be self-evident.
while we're on the road doing this very thing. I mean, I don't know who else you'd want to, because I know all the guys. We do the vaccine education summits we have. I interview Dr. Judy Mikovits every week for the past 4.5 years. I mean, we've been covering this, you know, from the beginning.
That's probably why I'm here, Ernest. It's just, this is a, you know, synchronicity that's supposed to happen, and
all right. Well, don't forget this mandate.
You just need to be really comfortable with it, and I understand that. Like, and if you weren't, I would be concerned. So, believe me.
Well, I'm comfortable with challenging. I'm comfortable with what what the hell you say. I agreed, and I didn't agree, and where we agree. So let's agree to my agreement, and they don't want to, and I'm like, all right, you know. So all right, I'm in. You know, keep me informed. Consider us a resource, and I need more than just, you know, go to my webpage or so on. I need examples or people that have used it. You know, have them, we'll get them on the show. We'll talk about this because I need, you know, and more than just this area, I'm looking for being able to challenge the ability of a community to make you agree to even open a business. I think that is just weird. You know, and one of the things is, you know, we have it's property rights. Do I own myself? You know, do I have to be forced with notions and potions from the crown into my flesh or my kids or grandkids? And I'm going, that's just wrong. That's Nuremberg stuff, man. That's not, you know, informed consent. You know, so that's what you're talking about, this kind of informed consent thing. So that, you know, that works there. But also I'm going, you know, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? So I can put a tent in front of City Hall, you know, and they hose off the crap for me and wash up my hypodermics or whatever, and I'm fine. But if I take that same tent and put it on land I own, well, then you go to jail. You know, you didn't get a permission slip from the crown. Where's your occupancy permit? And I'm going, when the hell did that happen in America? You know, I want to understand this. And as I keep, you know, pushing this, it starts coming down to this administrative law thing.
That's right.
You know.
And I was in construction, and I used to sell sunrooms, and we would put them up without permits from time to time. We'd have an engineering, we'd build a code and all that, but sometimes they weren't. It was outside of the square footage allowed. While some people, the city would like, you didn't get a permit, and you got to take this thing down. Like 8 years will go by. So they send a lot of paper, and they send people around, and they bark and, you know, show their fangs. But at the end of the day, you ain't got it. Because if you did, you would come in here and tear this thing down. But you don't.
Well, what would you use as a claim? They were just threatening, or they just wanted you to pay them off, or what?
These are just people who, and they're usually, you know, wealthy people. Anybody that got a sunroom, they're, you know, they had some money. So they were doctors, and, you know, there was one doctor, she was a dentist and a, like a dental surgeon, and she put a room up, and they keep sending her notices. You have to take that thing down. You're outside of the things, but they, like, nothing ever happens. Nothing.
Well, I, you know, they're, yeah, all right.
But I know that they're really pushing hard on anybody, like this guy with the restaurant. If you stand out, because what they don't want is copycats. So they come hard on anybody that goes like, I'm going to stand here, right? So the trick is either get way more people doing it, or you got to try some other tactic.
What's going to happen is individuals like this are so immersed and busy and just dealing with this, they can't take on the another 80 hours if I got to learn whatever the hell and maybe sort of. You know, they just want to hire somebody to do and they whatever. And then they, you know, but you do this, and then they, you know, suck up more of your time, and then they, you know, it's just a thing. So we need to, you know, like ab initio, you know, from the beginning, we need to understand what we're doing and not do it. So the better thing would have been just open, you know. But then you have then they go after the landlord. They have the strip mall, the insurance of blah blah blah, and the requirement of I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They built this tapestry to where you're like going out in the desert and build your own community of, you know, then they'll, you know, freaking hellfire missile you or something. I mean, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all designed to keep us in a slavery situation. And unknowingly, we think we're free, but it's actually slavery. They're using our labor to to.
So what do you think the end result of this is? It's going to be civil war and revolution of bite me or we live on Mars? What?
Well, I think what we're doing is going to be a big part of it. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I've just seen it. And people are going to wake up to at least the mechanism of what's going on and how to deal with it. We have a lot of people all around the world who are starting to like, oh, I get it now. Like the light bulbs are going off. So we just need to keep that thing happening and get it on a large scale.
Well, I'm hoping that our conversation that I, that's why I have a lot of these conversations and it's all like clandestine or, you know, join my thing or go, I'm going, man, you gotta in one segment in 10 minutes, get it to where I understand. This is how I would see if I can get it in a nutshell when I, you know, repeat our conversation to someone. I'll go, there is a place, you know, a website called, where's my card? Called InPowerMovement.com, and their concept is that the merchant court that has been intertwined with our justice system that is not necessarily part of it, it's just intertwined with it, and they use the same rooms and so on, they see you as an equal participant in this. They say that you agreed to it because of something. They'll come up with a driver's license or some permit you filled out or something. But there's no conditions that are detailed in there other than it referenced some law or kind of whatever. And you go, whoa. I don't agree to this. I wish to extract myself from that. And I need you to answer some questions. And this is my new agreement. And if you bug me or violate, you owe me money for give me a hassle if I filed in the process. So
yeah, you got to remove the I don't agree with this, though. That's a killer. I had to learn that the hard way.
So this is, instead of saying I don't agree with your contract, I'm amending the contract.
I conditionally accept your offer.
I am conditionally accepting your offer. I accept your offer under these conditions. Because I am an equal participant in this contract.
That's right. Because you said so.
Oh. Well, you agreed. And you're a person in this contract. You said you totally agreed. And you go, all right, well, these are my conditions, you know,
exactly,
for me to agree. All right.
You turned me into this so that you could use it against me, and now I'm aware of it. And now,
well,
I'm
you can
go,
see
okay,
a lot of people. A lot of people would try to extract themselves from that and say, "Hey, I'm not that person. That's a straw man
exactly.
argument," or the blah blah blah. So you're saying, you're going, okay, I'm it. Now these are my conditions. And they go, "Damn it, I hate
yes.
when they do that."
Yeah, and that's when the judge ran off the bench.
Yeah, you know, it's scary to agree to something. You know, like that, but forever will it haunt you and something, you know.
But as long as you have conditions on it, it's a conditional acceptance. You're not bound by it.
All right.
And so you always have to add in, like, don't leave it there either. If you continue.
This is how much it costs you.
This is how much it's going to cost you.
Okay. Can you keep me in mind? You get come up with some new stuff and, you know, keep us up because we're on the road with the people that, you know, we're talking about mandatory vaccinations. We got businesses. We're showing up in front of restaurants and gyms and businesses and activists and signs and ass whipping all over the country. We started in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Michigan, Washington State, down to Arizona. We're going down to Key West, a southern route in January while it's cool. Then we're going across the middle of the United States of America for a year. So I need this kind of exact kind of information, but I don't want people to get in trouble. Or they can get in trouble. I don't care. They want to get in trouble. But, you know, they need to understand what they're doing.
Yes, and that's why we stick with the four agendas. We will only support those four agendas. Because we've had people go half-cocked, I know how to do this, and then they take the template and they rewrite it for some other issue in their life, which is a real issue, and they invariably come back, I'm in trouble, I need help.
Yeah. Or yeah, some of the other issues that they're messing with, they, you know,
one
stay away from.
One guy wanted to use marijuana in some state where it's not legal, and he, you know, blah, 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 blah. And another lady, she had a farm, and apparently, I never saw it, but apparently her farm was near a new residential development that was pretty uppity, uppity, like a very wealthy thing, and they didn't like her farm being there and the smells and the sounds or whatever. So there was some kind of disagreement between this neighborhood and her farm, and so she used the process, and yeah, she got herself in trouble.
In what way?
They charged her with harassment or paper terrorism.
The paper hurt me. Okay.
Exactly. So, and she doesn't, and she claimed she was an expert. I can take this on, but no, you can't, because you don't understand what it is you're doing. You really don't. You think this piece of paper is going to save you in some way. It's some kind of magic bullet. Oh, it's not.
Right.
It's a representation of what you are inside. And that's the key to this. You have to at least have some understanding of what it is you're doing inside, not just fill out a piece of paper and fire it off and see what happens. I mean, it's written in a way that where that will keep them safe as long as they're in those four agendas. That's all we can support.
All right. Yeah. Well, so the mandatory vaccination thing, I'm definitely, you know, that you have a lot of interest there. You know, we can get you right in the top guys of whatever. I mean, you know.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob, you had a question?
Yeah. But, you know, so we did a little of this, I believe, because like I say, this is obviously from what he's describing, kind of a convoluted process that you got to get right. The when we did the notice to carry concealed, I wonder if you could take and do a notice that I'm going to hold you liable for damages and file it with the county recorder if they wind up pulling you down and sticking you with a shot. It reestablishes your, hey, I never agreed to this no liability thing.
Okay.
In fact, I put it in a court record. A public document says, I specifically say you can't do this till you prove to me it's safe.
Okay, now what Bob's talking about, this is what happened. In there was a guy named Goff that did a history on all of the state constitutions and the constitutional conventions as they did it. So whatever secretary records that they had, they did this amendment, and then they argued that, and they voted on that, and blah, 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 blah. How it applied to Arizona is there was a recording of the vote and amendments and so on, where they created what was the state's version of the Second Amendment. And they specifically in there said that there will be no infringement of blah, blah, blah. And they had the vote where they tried to add an amendment where, yeah, but with a little bit of nope, and that was voted down, and they said why and all that. So that record and that those arguments were very specific of what their intent was when they did the Constitution in Arizona, so that later they can't argue, oh, what they meant. No, I can tell you what they meant. Here's the record that they kept of what they meant, okay? So what we did in the 90s, now we have unrestricted concealed carry here in Arizona. You know, you got a gun, you can carry it concealed, you don't have to permit nothing, you know, bite me. Well, where that started, we, in 94, we created an initiative. We used to have a newspaper called Citizens Take an Initiative, and we'd file dozens. I mean, like 30, 40. I mean, we'd just be buttheads, you know. This is what we want. So, of course, they did all their crap and everything to change laws and so on. But what we did is, one, Second Amendment is for everyone, which is safe. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe congressman? I mean, you know, that kind of crap, right? So we'd have fun with this. Well, one of the things that we did is a gentleman came up with the concept and the idea that if we could get, this before they had concealed carry permits and all that stuff, and they did that for a while, and then they just asked for it, and they just don't have anything. But what we did is we took and made like a barcode card that was a copy of a filing that we did with the county recorder that stated, pursuant to the intent of, this is our declaration of intent to carry concealed. And we filed it with the county recorder with an understanding. Here's our, you know, my permit is I don't need a permit, you know, and I made it myself. So when they would stop you, do you got a permit? Why, yes, I do. You know, I just whip that sumbitch out and I go right here. Well, the reason we did that was because there was a court case that the state brought against someone that was on a fanny pack, or so there was some argument about whether they had jurisdiction to do this. Well, an amicus brief was filed with the state Supreme Court that they were going to do this. We're going to settle this once and for all that you can't have a gun, and we can say that in Arizona. And Arizona State University Law Library, they're going to have a big, and the court justices are there, and there's going to be all for once and for all in the public, and we're going to have this argument. Well, the amicus brief included this constitutional discussion about what their intent was. Once they saw that that went in, they go, we are canceling the jurisdiction and certiorari that we said we were going to take it, and they stricken the record, just evaporated that they ever agreed to. And I went, holy crap. Well, they don't like that argument. So what we did is we came up with this declaration of intent to carry concealed that individuals we filed with the county recorder, took that barcode, made a little card, and the reason was is that when they take you into court, what happened? Well, he showed me this card. What card? Okay. So they had to produce that. That was evidence in the case. Well, they have it. Well, this card, what does it say? It says that, damn it, they got it into the record. So that was what our point was, is we wanted to get that argument into the record that they wouldn't allow, and to the point that they just canceled it and stricken the record they ever even agreed to look at it. So I'm going, that's what they're afraid of, is this record. So we made the evidence of the case the record. So we had one guy that they arrested for this. They go, is that a concealed weapon I see in your fanny pack there? Because what happened is he had a fanny pack and the rear sights had kind of wore it through the leather, and you could see it a gun. So he goes, is that a concealed weapon I see? I mean, so that was a whole nother thing. But so they confiscated the gun. It was a $100 Makarov or whatever. That wasn't a big deal. But so we go into court with it, take it, and we go, all right, the justice of the peace up in Payson or in Gila County, or whatever level, I think it was justice of the peace. He goes, guilty, fine, suspended, there's nothing, whatever, we're keeping the gun, and peace be upon thee, and go do your thing. Because he goes, I'm punting this, man, it's not my problem. So then he goes, all right, fine, we go to Superior Court. So we go into the court, and we have this argument of what Bob was talking about, that declaration of intent to carry concealed to bring in this information, and they go, hell no. They did not want to deal with this. They suspended all the fines, but I think they kept the gun. You'd have to sue to get the gun back or whatever, and then we just kind of let it go. But it became clear to me that they'll do whatever the hell they want to keep evidence out that doesn't support them. So you see, I've already got experience. So what Bob is saying, if we do a declaration of intent to refuse mandatory vaccination or something, based on...
like what he said, I'm not going to refuse to take it. You're just demanding they prove it's safe, and then you will take it. Yes. But they have to, that's the contract. But you're putting that out in the record. So when you go and they go, we got to give you the shot, and you go to the doctor, you hand them the card and go, hey, you willing to accept liability? Without telling me what's going on, more power to you. But I'm putting you on record. You're going to be liable.
A preemptive conditioning filed with the recorder
that says, unless you can prove to me it's safe, I don't agree to your terms.
That's a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it is. And another thing is part of the problem with land titles and county records and all that is that you're filing and trusting the government. But there's technology using blockchain technology, it proves a lot of things that needed to be proved, in times gone by. So like a land claim, you put it with the county record because you wanted to make sure that everybody in the public knew that's my claim. I was first here. Nobody else can come in and put a claim on it. Well, we don't need them anymore. We don't need the king to hold all the land titles and everything. We can put it on a blockchain. Everybody in the public can see. We literally can change things on a level that people don't understand, and we can actually turn our back on the system as it is. We don't need them, and they can't make us do business with them.
Yeah, let me see if we can find this document, because we did a bunch of this stuff. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, once you have a thing in the court, like I have a massive debt with the province where I live, and they just leave me alone.
Right, built up because of all this stuff or something, or.
Yep, and a note, a promissory note was written, and they cashed it. We caught them selling it. They lodged it at the DTC. They put a circular out selling it, and all this stuff. So they're caught. They got caught. They don't want to deal with me. They do not want to have me in court, because my first thing out of my mouth is, before we start this new business, let's deal with the old business.
Okay. I'm.
That's why they leave me alone. I understand how this thing works. I'm acting as a merchant. Not that I agree with it. I just know how to do it.
Yeah, I know I have this record somewhere. I can't remember what we called it. Declaration of intent to carry concealed. I should bring it up. That concept, is that, you know, to preemptively set the condition in the contract filed to the recorder? What do you think of that concept in general right there?
Yes. Yeah, the concept is fine, because what you're doing is you're recording the contract. And I would go further and actually get the full agreement, so that you have your terms in there, not just conditionally accept. You got to, like, add that biting thing. That's the key to this. A lot of guys will go, you know, I don't accept or whatever, but you've got to put some teeth into it. Otherwise, they just kind of ignore you.
Yeah, so you got to have the, you know,
money.
Yeah.
It's always money.
All right.
And or, like I said, in our document, we put treason in, especially in the United States. It doesn't apply here in most of the world. But in the United States, because of that constitution, you know, the more I started reading that constitution, it's like those guys knew this was coming, like what we're in right now. Like, they knew it, and they needed to have a place where you could actually lodge a defense worldwide from it.
I've done a lot of lawsuits. This is like one I did, you know, special action to the Supreme Court in Arizona on gun stuff. And there's a lot of things, you know, articles I've written in papers and New York Times, you know, covering me on stuff. And, you know, it's not a secret that I do this stuff, and I'm perfectly willing to do it as long as I understand it. And I like this declaration of intent. You know, that's a good idea. They did not like that.
Yeah, particularly when you go to the doctor, because the doctor, you're just going to hold him. It's like, hey, I'm putting you on notice. You're going to not be able to hide behind this liability that nobody can sue the pharmaceuticals and all that stuff, because I'm asking you for informed consent. And, you know, if you're not willing to accept the liability and say that the thing's safe, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, I'll find this in here. See, I got all these things. God, declaration of intent.
And Bob, you put the liability in there. Don't say accept the liability. You actually go, this is what the liability is in dollars and cents.
Yeah, if I'm harmed by the vaccine, you're going to owe me $1 million.
Or even to the point where you make me take the vaccine, whether I'm harmed or not.
Right.
So you can write it any way you want. So, you just got to be reasonable, somewhat reasonable. And but so we've written the document so that it's very clear, very cookie cutter. And even those that really understand, have a lot more understanding, like the document. It doesn't bind them in any way, and they can see it. Those that don't know anything, they just, you know, sign it and send it out, right? So it's written so that you could be very advanced and fully agree with everything that's in there. It doesn't bind you in any way, and they can see it. And then, like I said, others that don't understand can just try and learn as they go.
All right, we'll go ahead. We'll work on that. You'll think about that for a little bit. This declaration of intent thing, because we got experience with that. Because I can go pull up the document. It's listed on, the Maricopa County. I could do that. Let's do that. You know, Maricopa County Court of Appeals, Maricopa.gov. And we used to be able to do this. You go and look at records and so on. I don't know what the hell they do now, but because this is available, request public record. Okay, I think that's it. And then I can put in my name. A lot of people don't know that you can do this, man. You can find out anything about anybody, you know. Search Ernest Hancock. Yeah. Ernest.
I mean, I met a guy in where is he? I think he's in Arizona too, and he knows a guy, like a stockbroker, who can look up your QSIP numbers. They're just right on the stock market, and so any case, your name comes up exactly. Well, how much is in your fund and all that stuff? It's like, whoa, right there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of this, you know, information required. Let's see, where do I go? One of the services. Anyway, I don't want to waste the audience and your time, but it's we all did this, a bunch of the activists, and this Declaration of Intent thing, and they just happened to catch, you know, some guy that was, you know, off the side of the road picking some plant that he wanted for his garden or something. So they pulled over, oh, is that a gun I see? And then here we go, and he happened to have this card. And we had laminated. It looked like a, well, that's not a real government. I don't know. They barcoded it. I don't know. It's my intent. You know, it wasn't fraudulent. You know, it's you know, let's adjudicate it. Let's go. And they're like, damn it, I hate when these libertarians do that.
Right. I will not argue with you on the side of the road. We will go before a magistrate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, which is one of the things that we've always, everything that we've done. I go, you don't argue with them there. You know, you sit here screaming about your constitutional rights to some Iraq veteran that just got hired by the police department. You're going to comply. He's going to shoot you in the face. So, I, you know, you just, you know, yeah, whatever, man. Haul me off. Do whatever. We'll go and have fun later. And that's what we've been doing. Yeah, Declaration of Intent to Carry. See, that's a lot of times when some of the cool stuff like this, I go look for it. It's like, nah, we don't have that search anymore. You know, but we'll see if we can find it. Hey, thanks a lot, Cal. I appreciate this conversation. I think we got, you know, some work done here. And but don't forget about us, especially on this mandatory vaccination thing. You got a root of the grapevine here as a conduit to get into this stuff. So I just want to make sure that, you know that you got an opportunity for some marketing for what you're doing, if it's going to be with an understanding that we're starting to come with how the court system is working and what they're doing. And and it's been, especially with administrative, they're all like you say, tacit approval or agreement, or you didn't say screw you or create your own claim. So I've known people that have done this, and it's always the man. I should call Jay. We should call him. You know, I want to see where it is on, you know, his town there. You know, it's a small town, you know, near Manchester in New Hampshire. And I went and sat with him, with their city attorney. And he was nice as hell, man. He's like, hey, man, we just got to do whatever because a complaint said, and we got to do something. And he goes, fine, you can do all this. And he went, damn it, you know. So I think if you know what's going on and you have where it hurts, a small town, yep, it's $50,000 every time you bug me. You want to play? Let's play. And they're like, I hate when the guys do that, you know? So they're along the same lines of what you're doing. So we got a lot of people in this mindset that have also been extracting themselves from being a U.S. citizen, so they can't go back and say, hey, you filled out this passport of you wanted to go somewhere, and you said you were, and then where's your condition of it's a new contract? And this is what they were doing, what you're talking about. They have a guy that's, you know, helps all these guys, you know, dozens of people I know that have done this, so that when they do come back and say, ha-ha, you did, nope, I extracted from that. I did a counterclaim. You accepted it. You did, because it's not my problem. You know, I'm not playing. Yeah. So this is, I have experienced that it has had some impact, and I want to, and if it becomes a thing, it's going to do exactly what I remember happened with the Patriot Movement in the mid-90s. It worked right up until it doesn't, and they go, yeah, well, freaking, we don't care, you know. So they haven't got to that point yet, but then you got them to say it, you know, so, you know, I'm wanting them to say it. All right, thanks a lot, Cal, for spending the extra time with me. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, man, don't forget about us.
All right. Have fun on your trip.
Thanks. Bye-bye.